So that is really what I see as the year of Amazon's comeuppance. This was one of the most challenging years you can possibly imagine for any company in the history of corporate America.
No.
Yes.
That's overstating
it. Look at everything they had to deal with this year.
That's overstating it.
What would be worse?
Well,
than the like combination of
breaking up a company, or a company has, you know,
well, somebody's
poisons all of its customers,
okay.
You know,
oh, like a big Tylenol.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, stuff like this is worse.
Right.
You know,
well, to me, if you look at this just taken together, this is not an easy year. Hi, welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
This is going to be fun, John.
It is?
It is, I promise.
All right.
So it is our year-end show, and we thought that we would go back and look at the top stories over the past year. Each of us did this independently, and we have not compared notes yet. We came up with what, to each of us, is a set of the most important, meaningful, significant news stories of the past year in what we cover. And just a reminder for folks out there, we're based here in Seattle, the center of the universe, right?
Yeah, Fremont, center of the universe, right here.
And so much of what happens here matters everywhere. We get to cover it every day in our newsroom in Seattle. And every week on the GeekWire podcast, we come in, talk about the news of the past week. And this week, it's the news of the past year.
And I've got about a dozen stories on my list here, Todd. I'm guessing we overlap on at least 90% of these. My prediction.
We'll see. I got to tell you, as I was going through this, I was struck by what an amazing news year this was.
It was crazy. I know. I was too. I mean, because you tend to just forget everything, especially in the news cycle we're in currently, especially tied to our political situation. You know, it's such a whipsaw. The news cycle is turning over so quickly with so much going on that you do lose the context. So hopefully here today, we can bring everyone together to reflect on everything that occurred. There were a lot of really huge stories.
There were. So on this episode of GeekWire, we're going to be talking about high-profile flameouts, giant acquisitions, triumphant returns to the Seattle tech community.
Can you think of that one's not on my list. I'm trying to figure out which one that one is.
Well, there's one
maybe not triumphant, but I was going to say there were departures as well. So
yeah, lots going on. So let's start with that triumphant return that I was referring to.
Figure out who this is. It's a person, obviously.
It is one person returning to a company.
And just returned this year.
Yes. We're talking about the year in tech 2019.
Okay, well, because the most triumphant return over the last several years has been Satya Nadella, of course, and the transformation of Microsoft.
Now, I would call that a resurgence, not a return. I'm defining
return
as having left the company and then, or left the position and then come back.
Oh, this is really...
I'm really surprised you're not getting
this.
I
know I got to figure this out.
Maybe triumphant is too strong.
Give me a clue.
You know this person. You've interviewed this person many times.
Oh, yeah, it's Rich Barton.
Right.
Yeah, this was on my list.
Yes.
But I had it more of the departure of Spencer Roscoe tied into the trend of CEO departures.
Yes.
Which was a big storyline. You know, you had also Mark Okerstrom, the CEO of Expedia, leaving.
Also on my list, yes.
And the CEO of WeWork leaving on a more, you know, national scale.
Yes. So Rich Barton, the co-founder of Zillow, which is the big online real estate giant, he came back at the same time that Spencer Raskoff, the former CEO, the longtime CEO, left. And it was part of a reinvention that is still going on at Zillow, where they're trying to make themselves into essentially the Amazon of real estate, the one-stop shop.
This is a very interesting story and one that's a bit of a head-scratcher for me, frankly. It is truly a massive reinvention of Zillow, almost switching the model on its head to some degree.
And Zillow was essentially founded as a real estate media company. They didn't get into the business of the transaction, let alone the business of actually buying the home, which they're now doing.
And what's interesting, in true Rich Barton style, going after this new model in a huge, huge bet in a big way. You know, Rich Barton, who obviously has the saying, it's as easy to get up to the plate and bunt as it is to swing for the fences for a home run. So you might as well swing for a home run. Well, he's doing it big time here with this massive risky bet on Zillow getting into the direct transaction business in real estate. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
So Rich Barton, for folks who have not followed his career, was the co-founder of Expedia inside Microsoft. He ran Expedia for many years, and then he went on to start a number of different companies, either as an executive or an investor, including Glassdoor,
Avvo, RealSelf, list goes on and on.
Yep. And so he's now back as the CEO of Zillow Group. you're right. It'll be interesting to see what happens on that one over the next year. Let's turn to some of the exits, the bus.
You really want to talk about the bus, Todd. You're really in a negative mood here. But there were some high-profile flameouts here, starting at the beginning of the year, into the mid-year, and then ending the year here with a spectacular flameout.
That's right. So number one, Aravail. This was a scientific wellness company started by Leroy Hood, the biotech pioneer, that really was trying to personalize genetics and make it possible to use your genetics to inform your health and the way that you eat, the way you exercise, and to personalize that to make it specialized for you. And they just ran out of money, ran out of opportunity, and crashed and burned. And we have the plane sound effect for hopefully they don't crash.
Now I listen to it, Todd. I never used to hear it, but now I hear it on the show.
Did this one surprise you?
Yes. You know, companies go out of business all the time. Startups have to shut down for various reasons. But the three companies I think we're highlighting here.
There's actually four.
There is a fourth. There's a fourth that I know of too that I don't know if you know the same
No,
one.
I think Julep.
Julep was online.
So
okay.
So Aravail, which we just talked about, Julep was the
retail cosmetics company
started by Jane Park that was online and also in physical retail stores. Human, the headphone maker, they shut down, went into receivership shortly after releasing their very goofy looking headphones.
Correct.
Visus, which we've been covering at length on the GeekWire podcast
more
and
recently,
on GeekWire more recently.
People know this story, high-tech football helmet maker.
So there's four.
Four. And there are some common themes here. They're all consumer-oriented businesses.
Interesting.
So they're that's a higher profile. I mean, you go from football helmets to cosmetics to headphones to Aravail, your personal health. So all consumer-oriented companies. So I think there's a higher likelihood you're going to pay attention to these companies.
Yeah, you could argue against that with Visus. The consumer might be a bit of a stretch. In some ways, they're B2B because they're selling into sports teams. But
okay.
I get your point. They're in the middle.
I'm not fully there.
Fair enough.
But here's the other thing. And as I say, companies go out of business all the time. But the way these four companies went out of business was spectacular in terms of how they seem to be doing well one moment, and then the next, they were basically turning off the lights.
It was abrupt.
It was so abrupt.
Yes.
I mean, oftentimes you know, there's a series of layoffs, and they're paring down the staff, and there are signs of trouble. In each of these cases, it was one day they're raising a lot of money, and the next day they're out of business. In the case of Human, I mean, they came out with their product, this spectacular launch after many, many years of research and development, and then we're out of business like a few weeks later.
Yes, it was extremely surprising. Now, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you have Real Networks, which has been going out of business for the past two decades.
Oh, geez, God.
Can you believe they're still in business? That was actually one of the more notable stories of the year that we haven't covered, I don't think, as well as we should have. That Real Networks is essentially pivoting its business model to facial recognition
at this point.
Yes.
Oh, I did not even know that.
I know. We totally need to cover that.
Okay.
So we covered the initial launch of their facial recognition technology at the school of Rob Glaser's kids.
Okay.
They identify people walking up and check the roster to see if they are allowed into the school grounds.
Oh, boy.
So.
Okay.
But we
have not know this.
Gotten into detail on the fact that this is, if you read like Real Networks boilerplate at the bottom of the company press releases, this is basically what they're pivoting to.
The fact that we are having a year-end podcast in 2019 and we're still talking about Real Networks is pretty amazing. So let's move on to the next story after the spectacular failures.
I will point out one more spectacular failure. The car sharing bust. Really.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. That was also on my list.
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of put those companies – and also, again, consumer-oriented companies.
Yes.
But I kind of put them into a different bucket since they weren't really startups that grew up here other than ReachNow.
Yes.
But yeah, that one's a bit of a drag as we've talked about on the show in the past.
It is. One last commonality I want to point out between two of those startups that went out of business, hardware, Visus and Human, the headphone makers. It's a tough business. It's typically not the kind of business that Software Seattle is known for or has a particular track record of success in, with some limited exceptions. So that was interesting to me as well. Okay. Next theme for me, giant acquisitions.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a few on my list.
Yeah, okay. So the one that stunned me, talk about things that were abrupt and surprising. Prudential Financial acquired a company called Assurance IQ for $2.35 billion, less than 4 years after this company was founded. It's basically a tech company that has been making its mark in the insurance technology industry.
Absolutely amazing story here. I talked to a venture capitalist a couple days after this acquisition occurred or after it was announced. And he had the same feeling I did. It was like, where in the heck were these guys from? I had never heard of them. I'd never even heard anyone mention them. I mean, they surprised us. We had never even really covered them. Completely bootstrapped, and to have a company that sells for $2.35 billion out of the gates is crazy.
We've got to get
congrats
these guys
to them.
We should have had them at the GeekWire Summit this year. Now that I think about it, wouldn't that have been a fascinating conversation?
I'm thinking, Todd, I mean, certainly a nominee for the GeekWire Awards Deal of the Year.
It's very true. It's true.
I mean, they have to be. I mean, a bootstrap company in 4 years that gets sold for $2.35 billion to Prudential has got to be somewhere in the mix on the GeekWire Awards.
Yep,
March 26th, by the way, MoPop.
GeekWire.com/awards. So the two entrepreneurs, Michael Paulus and Michael Roll, out of left field with this giant startup success.
Absolutely. But so, not the biggest acquisition this year of 2019.
No, that
was one bigger one.
The Salesforce acquisition of Tableau Software, which was a surprise in the sense that you go, oh, yeah. Yeah, we knew that was coming, but we didn't expect it right now.
Right. There were leaked documents that came out from Salesforce, I don't know, a couple of years ago, where they had like all their acquisition targets on there and Tableau was on there.
So this was essentially the leader in customer relationship management software, one of the companies that's trying to really make its mark in the cloud, offering services for businesses, Salesforce. Really doubling down on this idea of data visualization through the acquisition of Tableau.
Mark
Benioff. This acquisition was interesting for it's. By the way, it's Vizzes. So people don't think we actually don't know what it is. The visualizations that Tableau does. Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, can't seem to figure out how to pronounce them, despite the large sum that he paid to own them. So this was notable not only because of the size of the acquisition. But because in making this deal, Mark Benioff declared that Seattle would be Salesforce's HQ2, as he called it.
And I think we'll see how that plays out, but I think that's going to stir up the market here a little bit.
In terms of
an additional tech powerhouse here in the Seattle area that is going to be aggressively competing for talent and using Tableau as its base to do so. So I think that's going to be an interesting story to continue to watch into 2020 and the integration of Tableau.
And in that way, it's actually interesting to look at some of the other big stories of the year. You had the continued influence of Silicon Valley tech giants, most notably with Apple announcing that it plans to open a high-profile, large, new, dedicated Seattle campus. They've been here for a number of years, but this was really them being much more public about it, just as an example, in their existing space.
And Google just opened their new South Lake Union operation, Google Cloud, right next to the Amazon headquarters.
Then you had one of the top stories of the year on GeekWire, Amazon moving its key logistics team, thousands of employees, from Seattle to Bellevue.
Well, that ties into another story on my list. It was in 2019 that Amazon pulled out of its HQ2 city in New York City in Long Island and basically couldn't deal with the political heat of New York and said, hey, see you later, NYC. We're going to double down in the Seattle area and in Arlington, Virginia. Now, the interesting thing that's at play here is what this has meant for the growth of Amazon in Bellevue, which I think is another huge story that's happening is that you do see, as you mentioned, big divisions of Amazon that are setting up shop across Lake Washington from Seattle in Bellevue, and the boom that's going on in Bellevue as a result, in part tied into the disastrous relations between the business community and the city council, which ties into another story on my list too. I'm hitting killing about five birds with one stone on this topic.
Yes. So this gets into a category that I call the Amazon comeuppance. So we're going to get into that coming up around the corner. You're listening to The Year in Review, and we'll be right back.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. We're talking about the top stories of the year on GeekWire, not measured necessarily by traffic or audience or
just what we thought was interesting
and also impactful. Let's get into this issue of these Amazon setbacks. It was a remarkably rocky year for Amazon, if you look at it based on some of the dramatic setbacks that happened for this company.
Well, Jeff Bezos would say that's just awesome because with all these failures is going to come so much additional success that they have down the path, right?
Right, because they learn from them, I guess.
I'm sorry. They got to fail a lot.
Nice way of putting it. Okay, yep. So here's the thing, and maybe I am focused too much on the negative here, but you've got, as you mentioned, HQ2 and Amazon pulling out of New York, really kind of a high-profile debacle. The Capital One hack Amazon Web Services. You had Elizabeth Warren calling for the breakup of Amazon and other big tech companies, ongoing back and forth with everybody from Bernie Sanders to Joe Biden and Donald Trump to some extent. In effect, they were playing defense against people across the political spectrum.
Is this list of failures of Amazon continue? Because I have a few others.
It keeps
to
going.
Toss into
So,
well, the loss of the Jedi contract,
The
big cloud computing contract for the Pentagon that went to Microsoft, not to Amazon. In part, the debate is because Donald Trump wanted to steer it towards Microsoft away from his nemesis, Jeff Bezos.
The big embarrassing loss at the Seattle City Council.
That was huge.
Trying to essentially turn over that city council with an unprecedented donation and failing.
I think on this show I called it one of the worst political blunders of all time in Seattle city politics. I'm going to stand by that.
Amazon's Ring security hacks just over the past couple weeks. This is really one of the most eye-opening security issues that I've seen, because even though Amazon and Ring weren't technically at fault here, it was really weak password security on the part of many customers. It was just astonishing the level of the invasion of privacy that these hacks allowed through those cameras. On the personal level, it was a very difficult personal year for Jeff Bezos as well. His divorce from his longtime wife, Mackenzie, all of the back and forth. Remember with the National Enquirer and all those issues that they were trying to blackmail him and he had to...
That was kind of a win though, the way that played out.
That
right?
was a win, but I still also put it into the category of high profile stuff that they probably wouldn't want to be dealing with if they had the choice, or at least not in the ways that they're having to deal with them.
And yet Amazon's market value sits at $927 billion and the stock has performed quite well this year. So despite all of that, the people who are betting on this company still think all is good.
At the same time, they shifted from two-day to one-day shipping. They built up their logistics network. They announced a big climate pledge to dramatically reduce their CO2 emissions and other impacts on the environment. This was just a remarkably eventful year for Amazon
and you get the sense that it's not going to slow down or stop with this company, that they are going to continue to invest in creative business opportunities and try to shake things up and be entrepreneurial and innovative even as they are a massive company, which is one of the most impressive and interesting things about Amazon.
I'll add one more. They backed out of the restaurant delivery business. They gave up the fight against Grubhub and others, to go back to the negative.
They either gave up or they got some learnings that they will use to their advantage as they enter this marketplace down the road.
Exactly. Look at you. Are you reading from the leadership principles right now?
That's right.
All right. So that is really what I see as the year of Amazon's comeuppance. This was one of the most challenging years you can possibly imagine for any company in the history of corporate America.
No.
Yes.
That's overstating
Look at everything they had to deal with this year.
That's overstating it.
What would be worse?
Well,
than the
like
combination of
breaking up a company or a company has,
Well, somebody's threatening
poisons all of its customers,
Oh, like a big Tylenol.
Yeah, debacle. Exactly. Okay. You know, stuff like this is worse. Right. You know?
Well, to me, if you look at this just taken together as the collective effect of a variety of difficult, challenging things, like this is not an easy year. Let me just say that. All right. Through all of this, I had one story this year, John, that gave me hope for the future.
This is turning into a positive note.
It involves Bill Gates.
Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is.
And a field of mirrors. So we're going to get into that coming up right around the corner. You're listening to GeekWire. Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. We are talking about some of the most meaningful stories of the year on GeekWire this year, 2019. John, I mentioned before the break, there was one story that gave me hope because as you have all of these issues where technology has a negative impact, either directly or indirectly, there are times when you really just want to remember this stuff does have the potential to change the world. And the story that reminded me of that was a company run by Bill Gross. It's called Heliogen, and they announced a new process that uses GPUs in computers and artificial intelligence to concentrate the beams of the sun in such a tight manner that they are able to create the levels of heat that are required normally to use fossil fuels to run giant factories and manufacturing plants. This is a company backed by Bill Gates. Whether or not this takes off, I think it's so cool that bits and bytes are able to go out and change the physical world and potentially could be at least part of the solution for global warming.
Well, this is the big bet that technology and innovation will help solve some of our most pressing issues. And I think people have lost sight of that in 2019.
Yep.
There's been the big tech lash, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Amazon, and they've kind of been demonized to some degree.
Absolutely.
And these are largely consumer-oriented companies. But I think what's lost in that when you just throw everybody into the pile together, what is lost in that is that there are innovations, there are technologies that can actually make the planet better. They can help solve disease. They can help with climate change. And I think we got to keep those stories in mind and front and center and be talking about them more.
So what else is on your list?
There were two stories on my list, Todd, that I don't think you touched on.
What's
one we didn't write about as much. And the second one was an IPO.
Interesting. Okay, wait. I wonder if we're thinking about the same thing.
Yes.
Is it the forensic use of genealogy?
No.
Shouldn't that be one of the biggest stories of the year?
Why?
Because people are now subjecting themselves and their family unknowingly to police investigations that could lead to the arrest of one of their relatives without...
Are you speaking from personal experience here?
No,
something
I'm
that
not.
This is front and center
I'm not.
For you?
It is a very
interesting area, and we did not write about it that much.
Well, we wrote about it at least once, and it was a Washington State case where this came up. I think that's probably one of the most interesting developments scientifically of the past year.
That is one. So here is the story.
And this is not it.
That was not it. But the one that I think is an interesting software story, software gone awry, when we were just talking about technology hopefully pushing forward society and software and technology, making our lives a better place. Well, it can have negative ramifications, as we've seen with the 737 MAX and Boeing, which is a big software story essentially of AI computers running a machine improperly that the pilots could not get control of those aircraft. That is one of the biggest stories as it relates to AI and software, and certainly here in the Seattle region, an extremely important story for us to be thinking about and talking about.
Absolutely. What else?
Well, the other one on my list I mentioned was the only – well, not really the only IPO, because there was an IPO that went public on Wall Street, and then there was an IPO in Australia. But the IPO I was thinking about was the Wall Street IPO. Do you know who it was?
Yeah. Adaptive Biotech.
It was Adaptive Biotech, yes. And they did very well in the public markets. And this does speak to my thoughts about how technology can be used for the greater good. Here is a company that is using AI to try to get better insights into disease analysis. And so the company went public. It's led by Chad Robbins and his brother Harlan. And they did extremely well in the public markets. It's since fallen back a little bit from those first few days, but they're still trading above their IPO price. Really the one major technology company that went public from Washington State this year.
We talked about this on the podcast when it happened, and I recommend going back and hearing the audio from that episode with Chad Robbins talking about how he founded the company, where basically he had no idea what his brother was talking about, but he knew that his brother was super smart and his brother was excited. And he said, I'm on board with whatever that is you just said. So they basically ran that company into a giant, publicly traded, very promising biotech company.
Correct. Todd, what else was on your list?
Let's see. Let me look. So I've got kind of an honorable mention category, John, F5. F5 had two big acquisitions this year, the networking security company and cloud technology company based here in Seattle. They acquired Nginx and Shape Security, more than $1 billion total, you know, $1.6 billion total. That was an interesting move. They also moved into a new tower downtown. Enterprise software, enterprise technology, John, I know it's not the most glamorous thing in the world, but these are the companies that are kind of that infrastructure backbone of the Pacific Northwest tech community.
Okay.
So that's one.
That's notable. I had thought about that one, but did not make my list initially.
Okay. You mentioned the Expedia executive ouster, the Microsoft-Samsung partnership, getting tighter on phones, the Picnic Pizza robot. That was a big story. Nike acquiring TraceMe, the Russell Wilson startup. Flight Simulator finally coming back. That's a personal favorite of mine. And then on the national level, the Uber, Lyft IPOs, the Slack direct listing, lots of stuff going on in addition to all of the stuff at the political and policy level and the antitrust investigations these big tech companies.
Yeah, we should have our listeners out there pick their top story of the year and submit it to us. And from the pool, we'll pick one and we'll give them a little Geekwire prize package. What do you think?
Sounds good.
So if there's a top story that we didn't talk about here today, let us know and you could receive a prize package from GeekWire.
Send that to todd@geekwire.com, 2Ds, or john@geekwire.com. Just have our direct email addresses. Just send it straight to us. It'll get to us anyway, so just send it straight to us. So is that it?
I think that's a pretty good recap. Those are most of the stories that were on my list.
You've forgotten one.
Oh, I forgot one. Oh, no. Here you go. Give me a hint.
Well, it involves one of our favorite people to cover, one of the most widely followed people in the world.
Oh, well, yes. This is when you first started talking about Bill Gates. This is the one I thought you were going to go to. Yes. It involves Bill Gates and burgers.
Yes. Bill Gates was photographed standing in line outside of a popular burger chain here in Seattle called Dick's. Just an ordinary Bill.
Yeah.
Standing
celebrities
on the sidewalk.
They're just like us.
And
they get hamburgers.
Went viral.
Yeah.
It was one of the top stories on GeekWire this year. And I actually got a chance to talk to Bill Gates about it when we spoke with him at his office here in the Seattle area earlier this year.
We've talked about a lot of divisive issues here today. You recently put yourself right square in the middle of one. Somebody got a picture of you standing outside of Dick's Hamburgers, waiting in line for a Dick's Burger. You are a longtime Burger Master fan. What do you say to people who would call you a burger flip-flopper?
I absolutely love both. You know, I'll eat lots of different burgers at various times. I guess I'm not as photogenic when I'm sitting in my car as when I'm standing in a long line at Dick's. But, you know, they're both pretty amazing. The one thing about Dick's, I will say, the fries are pretty good. It's hard to beat the Dick's fries.
Gates marveled at the fact that people cared so much about the fact that he stood in line for a burger.
Absolutely. It's mind-blowing. I mean, just, you know, in Nigeria, it's a gigantic story. Really, it broke through in an unbelievable way.
So I know that I started it out on a depressing note.
And kept it going throughout most of the show.
But yes. Now at least we get to talk about Bill Gates.
That was a fun one.
And hamburgers. All right. Hey, thanks for listening to GeekWire all year, everybody. We'll be back in the new year with all the latest news. Until then, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening to GeekWire.